is 8:39 at AM 930 WEOL. Joining us on a Monday to talk Cleveland Browns football. Man, I had a first quarter of high hopes that our conversation would go different this morning, but joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram, Scott Petrak. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you guys?
Well, doing okay. Kind of an interesting game yesterday. It kind of started off with the big excitement, the unveiling of the Jim Brown statue. A little momentum we had in the first quarter. Then kind of what happened?
Yeah, it got away from them. The black extra point return for 2 points started it. Then the Browns just quit scoring, and the Ravens are a veteran team with a veteran Super Bowl winning quarterback, and they just kept chipping away and chipping away. The Browns just made too many mistakes. You know, if they needed one or two more plays, and the game would have been theirs, but they kept making mistakes and stopped making the big plays, and it came down to the end, and they couldn't pull it out.
You lead the story here that says the game turned on a block extra point turned into 2 points, which has only happened once before in the NFL history?
Well, yeah, I mean, the rules, you know, for a long time you couldn't go for 2 points.
Okay.
And then they also changed the rule where you could return the block kick. So it's not like it's been 60 years. But it's still only the second time, according to a former NFL vice president of officiating. It's only the second time it's happened.
Scott, you mentioned officiating. Where do you fall with the Terrell Pryor call at the end of the game?
Yeah, I understand why they called it, but I think it's a wrong call. I talked to somebody in the league, and it's a judgment call. It's not like if the ball hits an opponent, it automatically needs to be penalized. And I think that's why the flag was thrown. Terrell, it looked to me, and I watched it a bunch of times on replay, looked to me, he went to flip it to the official, and it kind of stuck in his hand and then dropped straight down and just kind of glanced off the Ravens' safety shoulder. And that's what the official saw, and he threw the flag. I don't think there's any intention there. I don't think he tried to taunt. It's not like he glared at the defensive back. You know, if you watch it, he drops it, it hits him, and both players keep walking. Nobody looks at the official like they're worried about a call or expecting a call. So I think it was a bad call. I know it's a bad break for the Browns. You know, instead of having a desperation heave from the 30, they have four shots from the 10 with 20 seconds left. And, you know, I mean, there's a reasonable chance to win the game.
Some of the highlights from yesterday's game. Got Crowell with the long run. Some good pass plays. Talk about those and some other things that maybe can give us a little hope as we get into the next weeks into the Browns season.
Well, yeah, I mean, the start was fantastic. You know, Corey Coleman, the rookie who had been a little jittery at the end of the preseason and then in the opener last week, comes out, catches a 31-yard touchdown. Crowell goes 85 yards up the middle, and the line opens a big hole, and then he outruns the secondary. You know, and Hugh Jackson, the coach, had talked about the need to get Crowell more carries and how he wanted to turn him loose, and you could see what he could do. He had some big playability. And then the Browns came down. They got an interception from Joe Hayden. And then McCown hits Corey Coleman again. And he makes a guy miss and stiff arms him, shows some toughness, gets in the end zone. So there were some reasons for optimism early. The problem is the Browns couldn't sustain it. You know, Josh McCown kept getting killed in the pocket. So it's amazing he stayed in the game. So the line wasn't doing its job enough. Crowell never had another huge carry. You know, he showed a couple glimpses, but they couldn't sustain that run game. And then Corey Coleman had a personal foul penalty that moved the Browns, made a 52-yard field goal instead of about a 37-yard field goal, and that's a huge difference. And those 3 points were, you know, they were enormous when you think about the end of the game. The Browns are marching down the field only needing a field goal instead of a touchdown. The whole last drive is different.
You mentioned Josh McCown, second week, second quarterback injury. We're not sure the extent of things right now. Why is that happening? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, yeah, because he's getting a snot kicked out of him. they keep hitting him, and he just stands in the pocket. Now, part of it, you know, Josh tries to make the most of every play. So he hangs in the pocket a long time. Instead of, you know, there's some guys, let's say Peyton Manning, for example, tell the play's not there, and he gets rid of the ball because he doesn't want to get hit. Josh isn't worried about that. Josh will stand in the pocket. He's waiting for a play to develop. The Browns rookies, you know, the Browns receivers, you got a rookie on one side, you got a former quarterback on the other side. I'm not sure they're always getting open, which puts more pressure on Josh McCown to hang in the pocket. The line isn't dominant, so there's going to be cracks. The Ravens have a good defense. All leads up to Josh taking a bunch of hits. He just kept falling on that left shoulder. You know, and like I said, it's amazing he stayed in the game. He's going to have an MRI today. The Browns are worried that it could be serious, and they'll have to miss a bunch of time, you know, which is just a typical Browns thing. You know, you lose, you have RG3, you have optimism surrounding RG3. He doesn't make it out of week one. Josh McCown comes in, plays pretty well, is going to stabilize things and could be done in week two, and all of a sudden you'd be turning to rookie Cody Kessler, who was supposed to be developed this year and kind of learn and watch from the sideline. He could be your starting quarterback in week three.
And I think everything we talked about, Scott, he hasn't taken a whole lot of reps, right?
Cody Kessler?
Yeah.
No, hasn't taken money at all. I mean, he played a decent amount in the preseason, but hadn't been practicing a lot. So, you know, he didn't look good in the preseason. He made plenty of mistakes. I think a lot of that is because he didn't get a ton of practice reps. And then, you know, week one, he was only getting scout team reps. Week two, he got a few reps just because he was going to be the backup. So it would be a steep learning curve. And what would worry me, not only did the Browns' chances to win go down, if you go from Josh McCown to Cody Kessler, you would assume, it would affect the development of guy like Cody Kessler, of Corey Coleman, the receiver, because you're not sure if Cody Kessler can deliver the ball like Robert Griffin III would or like Josh McCown would. And not only that, if the Browns wanted this guy to develop, and he's not the biggest guy and he doesn't have the biggest arm, so I think he needs a whole lot of stuff around him to go right, all of a sudden you play him early and maybe he gets hit a lot because that's probably going to happen because he's a Browns quarterback. And his confidence gets shaken. You know, you just worry about ruining a guy's career so early when they wanted to bring him along slowly. And we've seen that happen to plenty of Browns quarterbacks. You know, Colt McCoy comes to mind.
Another guy who went down yesterday was center Cam Irving. Any idea what his issue is?
Yeah, he's got a bruised lung. You know, he was feeling, he had cramps throughout the game, and then he had rib and chest discomfort, and they wheeled in a stretcher and took him away in an ambulance after the game, and he was diagnosed with a bruised lung. The last Browns player I remember having that was Markievicz Mingo when he was a rookie, and he had it in the preseason game. It seemed pretty innocuous, the play it happened on, and he wound up missing about a month. So, you know, who knows? Every case is different. It could be even more serious. But you'd expect Cam Irving to miss some time here. And the thing is, the Browns don't have a true backup center on the roster.
Even the guy the announcing the game, when they were sending a different player in, they weren't even sure who was going to hike the ball in that final series. So,
yeah, I mean, it was going to be John Greco, and you knew that, but he's a guard.
Right.
Hasn't played a ton of center. So unless they sign somebody off the street, you probably have John Greco move over to center, and then you got to figure out who plays right guard. It's just a mess, assuming Cam's going to miss time and assuming Josh McCown's going to miss time. It's just a mess 2 weeks in to a season that's supposed to be about building young talent and progressing throughout the year. There's a pretty big setbacks to have after two games.
And if you're looking to bring somebody in for quarterback, you got to have somebody who sort of knows the system, but you've got a new system. Who on that roster that they cut, Austin Davis or anybody like that?
No. I mean, Austin Davis is in Denver. Denver signed him, so he's off
about,
the table.
How about Thad, our buddy Thad, who's been with us a number of seasons?
Yeah, but, I mean, maybe he wasn't with Hugh. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of guys out there who've been in the league. You got Charlie Whitehurst, T.J. Yates, I think is out there. Michael Vick's out there.
Anybody can bring have a center they could bring with them, you know?
Yeah, right.
Bring them both together like a battery.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns did have some backup centers in camp that they could re-sign. It's an unfortunate situation. Hopefully Josh will be okay. That would be the best case scenario. I think they could figure out the center guard spot. Cam Irving wasn't great at center anyway. But the bigger issue is if Josh McCown is hurt for a length of time, you have Cody Kessler, you know, they have another rookie on the practice squad they could bring up, but then you have two middle round rookies. That's not ideal. You could sign a veteran quarterback and try to get him up to speed as fast as you could. But then it just puts the rest of the last 14 weeks kind of into even further doubt than they were would have been to begin with.
Right. You'd like to at least see some forward momentum, learning or whatever, but here they just keep patching holes, it seems, as the weeks go on. We're going up against Miami next week, so we got our work cut out for us there. Scott, we will talk again next Monday. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, guys.